Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 2. While we are opening to it, let me just remind us of what has been happening. Since the beginning of the year, I've been talking about what I call the path of progress in the life of the believer, that is the child of God. And we have said many things in that regard. And I encourage everybody that has not been following us very diligently to please try and get the pack of materials on at least an MP3 by next week. Everything will be on one single MP3 CD, so you can just pick one up. That would be very good. All right? Now, I'm still talking on the same regard today, but I just feel like changing the topic. Now, the reason why I'm changing the topic mainly is because what I want to begin to talk today and discuss today is one of the topics under that series of the path of progress in the life of the believer, the life of the Christian, the child of God. It's just that this one is so important, and it's going to take quite a number of days. So I said, let's just put it on its own, and let's see how far we'll go with it. Therefore, I'm titling this, what I'm beginning to talk about today, my title will be Walking in Divine Authority. Do you hear that? Walking in what? Divine authority. That is, taking a place in life where you execute judgment for God. Now, this is very important. Please, I want us to get this clear. Because a lot of times we don't understand what Christianity is about. Many of the things that we have learned and been brought up in Christianity as being very important is not exactly as if they are wrong or they are not important. It's just that they are not exactly the main goal. You know, like if you're a child, you think, I still remember thinking like that very well. You know, those days I used to like, you know, meat and fish that have been fried, but they have not been put inside the soup or the stew. You know, it's just a matter of variety, actually, turned out. So when we're children, if they are cooking in the kitchen, you tend to hang around. It's not as if we're hungry, just that particular, you know, just freshly fried meat that they have not dropped inside the soup had a unique taste. So we like to get it. So then I remember very well, I was very small, I told myself that when I grow up, of course, that I'm going to have a fridge stocked with freshly fried meat and freshly fried fish. Because I thought that, you know, as a child, I mean, what else is there in life? You think that as I grow up in life, I am going to buy a very big freezer and put a lot of ice cream and, you know, chocolates in it. But of course, when you grow up, you realize that that's not what exactly life is about. So, in fact, you know, it will amaze you as a child that they offer somebody, maybe they are sharing meat, and they give an adult meat, take, and they say, no, thank you. Ah, like, what? How can you do that kind of thing? You know? I mean, but as you say, when you start growing now, you get to a time, they offer you a drink you don't want. You know, I go to places and I say, please, what would you like to drink? And I say, please, I would like water. When I was much smaller, I couldn't understand why on earth somebody would want water. They're offering you malt, they're offering you Coke, Fanta, all kinds of drinks. You say you want water. But when it became my turn, me too, I'll now go and I say, what do you like anything to drink? I say, no, okay, can I have a bottle of water? You know, I'm not feeling like an old man. Of course, as you grow up, you know, life is not about some of those issues. And the same thing with Christianity. Some of the things we brag about and shout about, there are actually not the things that life is about. It was okay for nurturing children, and they're actually important because the father gives you food, gives you free gifts, gives gifts to his children, and it's important that the children learn how to receive from their father and not go around hungry. We know it's very important. But what has to do with maturity is what we've been talking about, that you see, Christianity, I want to put new words to it today. What is really important about Christianity is that we are able to deputize for God on the earth. Did you hear what I said? When you say you are able to deputize, that is, you can take positions for God on the earth. That God, let me put it like this, is not around. And they say that who is sitting in for God? And they point to you, that is the guy who is sitting in for God himself. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 5, he said, when it even comes to judgment, that the Father doesn't judge any man. He has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. That for that reason, the Son can kill and he can make alive. You are getting the point. Then that's what we are talking about. The ability to deputize for God. God is not around. Say, you rule the universe when I'm not around. You rule this nation when I am not around. And let me say this to you. What God wants to do, because within the realm of this creation, this is where God has given us the opportunity to demonstrate what we can do in the realms of eternity. Don't forget that thing we refer to. Luke chapter 19, the parable of Jesus Christ about the nobleman who went out to go and take a kingdom. And then before he left, what did he do? He gave money, minas, to his servants. And he said, occupy with this until I come back. Now, we know that what he was saying is that demonstrate your ability with this until I come back. Now, do you get that? Literally, what he was saying is do business with this until I come. But when we saw what happened as a result of that, that what he did was to use the ability to multiply the money that he had given them. He used that to place them in charge of cities. So he said, to you that was able to multiply your money 10 times, be in charge of 10 cities. I am saying again that the earth that we are walking in, listen, this realm of existence that we are in is the money that God has given us to demonstrate our abilities to handle eternal matter. Please get my point. The Bible says clearly that as human beings, children of God, a time will come that you will be judging angels. That is, listen, this earth doesn't end at the end of your 80 or 90 or 110 years in this life. It doesn't. Actually, it has just begun. It's like somebody went to university. At the end of 4 years, they give you a certificate. That doesn't mean anything. It just means that you have gone to school. Now, you are supposed to come out and meet the challenges of life. You can't say, now, see, I have a certificate after spending 4 years in school, so life is made. No, no, no. When you leave, life has just begun. Please, you are getting the principle. That's when life begins. In the same manner, when you leave this earth, actually life has just begun. And what will happen to you in eternity is determined by what you demonstrated while you were on this earth. This is like your realm of money. Use this money and show me what you can do. And then I will give you kingdoms to rule over for me. You see, the blessing of God, I have found out, is not about my stomach. It's about the greater opportunity to demonstrate my abilities. Now, let me say that again clearly. We talk about Joseph all the time. As if Joseph would be, became so blessed, he was a great man. He had food, he had chariots, he had houses, he had cars. That was not the issue about Joseph. The issue was that he now had the responsibility to preserve many lives. You are getting my point. So God said, before I can commit anything eternal into your hands, you must show me what you can do with the things I have given you temporarily. That is, the temporal things of this earth. Now, that's point number one. But point number two is that within that realm, however, all right, God has put certain things. Now, what he's going to do eternally, I don't claim to know. I really don't know, all right? It doesn't say much to us about it because it says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That is, while you are on this earth, while you are in this realm, I will give you enough information to be able to help you make success of your existence here. Now, so let's talk about that, our existence here, before we start worrying our head about what will be our reward later on. But for that existence right here, we know that God has a purpose, and that his purpose, that's what I want to read, as far as it concerns us, all right, is that his kingdom will be established through our lives on this earth. Do you follow my point? We can even take that parable that we used earlier from Luke chapter 19 and see how it affects us in this life. God gives us literally, you know, material things. Now, money, again, is smaller measures. And that's an example. He gives us different opportunities. And as we handle those things, he now places us over real kingdoms on this earth. For example, there are different realms of life. I'm a preacher, so I like to talk about ministry. There's something about ministry. If you're a businessman, there's something about business. If you're a wife, there is something about managing a home. Let me tell you, as a matter of fact, that is a kingdom in itself. One day they asked Pat Robertson's wife, when they were doing, I think, their 50th anniversary or something. He said, what is it that you really are proud of that you have done in this earth? On this earth, he said, raising my 4 children. What is it that you would like to leave behind for people on this earth? She thought about it for a while. He said, the 4 children that I raised. You get my point? That is, I trained them, all right, to become people. And the people that they have become will bless the whole of this earth. Now, let me keep on talking about my kingdom. So you find that there are different kingdoms in life. There are different segments of life. And God wants us to rule. Now, this is the word I'm trying to present again. He wants us to rule for him in every sphere of life. Really, that is what Christianity is about. As I'm going on again, I will explain it. That's why you see, we'll read from the book of John chapter 5, that was something that Jesus really sat on and explained. I've explained something to us in previous times that the life of Jesus, we should stop looking at it as if this is the life of God on the earth. It's a correct thing. But what I want us to look at is more like this is the life of the man that has attained the position that God wanted him to attain on the earth. Because Jesus emphasized that the reason why I am standing as judge is because I am the Son of Man. That is, God did not put an angel in charge. He put a man in charge. But before he could put a man in charge, he had to walk with him to certain levels and receive certain degrees of authority. You get what I'm trying to say? That's why I'm telling the series beginning from today, walking in divine authority. I have explained that life really, it doesn't, look, this is how God did it. Life is not supposed to control us as his children. We control life for God. Now, but there is a time of childhood in which other people control you, in which they tell you where to go, and the annoying part, even the things of life, tend to want to tell you where to go and where not to go. But what God is saying is that as you are growing up, a time will come when we will turn the tables. Do you follow my point? We will turn the tables, and then you will fall asleep. The storm say, yes, he has fallen asleep. Let us scatter his company because he went on holiday. All right? 6 weeks you were away. Then as soon as you come back, they said that they had to lay off 1,000 employees where you were gone because of some crisis. They're in debt to the tune of 100 million naira, and you just smile. You have understood what has happened. You are captain of this boat, but you went to sleep. Do you understand? Then you will wake up and say, I have come back to work. Storm cease. Do you follow my point? Within 1 week after you come back to work, you have recalled 1,000 staff that were laid off. You are getting what I'm trying to say. You see, the things that Jesus did, they have applications in every aspect of life. So, and that's one thing about him. I said something the other day, that you could never catch him in a position where he became subject to the things of the earth. Even when you came up to him and said, come and pay tax that you are not even supposed to pay. And at that point in time, there is no money in his pocket. He will turn to Peter and say, come, Peter, go here, go and fish. You will find fish that swallowed money, holding it for when we will need it. The idea is this, he wasn't subject to the affairs of life. The affairs of life, they were subjects to him. A time came in which they took him, it appeared, physically speaking, forcefully, and beat him, and then they killed him. But before then, he warned the disciples. He said, look, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. There is nothing he can do. He said, I lay down my life of myself, and when the time comes, I will take it up again. This is the commandment. That's something I want to understand. That was the authority he had received from the Father. Please get the point. What God wants us to do is to be able to deputize for him on the earth. We'll see some principles. I want to understand something. Most of the time that Jesus would do things, he didn't go to pray about them much as we would think. Let me explain what I'm saying. He just go and say, why are they crying? He said, that boy died. Why did he die? Why should he die? Does he not know that his mother will cry when he has died? Do you understand? He said, Peter, come. Let's go and wake this stupid boy up. He will go there. Get up. Your mother is crying. And then the boy will get up. Now, there is a point, all right, in which he reached, in which his normal response to a situation was the response of God. I don't know whether you are getting my point. When I'm talking about the will of God, these are the things I want people to understand. It's not every time that you go and pray, Father God, please show me your will. No, you are supposed to keep growing. You keep growing. One of the things I noticed about Christians is that when we're young believers those days, and as we learned, I draw some of those things away. Most people, not because they are Christians, because they are human beings, they like fantastic stories. No matter, fantastic stories. You say, oh boy, why did you move down to Abakaliki? You know, one day I just stood up and then I prayed. I said, God, reveal to me what is your will. And then I went into a 15-day fast. All right? On the 12th day, the heavens opened and I began to see angels fly. On the 13th day, they landed. On the 14th day, the Lord came in the midst of them. On the 15th day, he said, my son, go to Abakaliki. So 15 days to decide to go to Abakaliki. And, you know, and this testimony. Who has a testimony? Praise God. You want to show off your vision. You want to show off your experience spiritually. You don't understand that you have demonstrated to some of us that your heart is so babyish, God has to go through all of that. You don't forget my point. I like one thing Kenny Hagin said, and I've had that experience personally several times. People come and talk to you, and they have prayed and prayed and fasted. I said, you needed to pray and pray and fast for you to know what I can show you in 3 scriptures, and we should know where we are. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? You needed to pray and pray and fast. But you know, we like that side of it. I remember once I was somewhere, I was teaching. People were talking about how to know the will of God. They said, God talks to people. I said, listen, my friend, God doesn't talk to people so much like that. I'm happy I've heard other people say it now. One day I was listening to T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes said, no truly powerful person talks all the time. The devil come and say that, look, do you know where I'm wearing the dress I'm wearing this morning? Because the Lord told me to wear blue. So the Lord did. All right. And I was about to go out. God said, don't enter a yellow taxi, enter a blue one. And I was about to pay. God said, don't pay the man 1,000 naira notes. Pay him 200 naira notes. And then you tell the story and we feel you are very spiritual. We don't understand that it's the exact opposite in meaning. Do you get the point I know you make? It's the exact opposite. Then I was telling these people that that's not how God deals with people and that he has given people a lot of problems in life because they hold on to something. They say it's God that said, when in actual fact, God didn't say nothing. Please don't get me wrong. I don't say God does not commit. I'm not saying God doesn't communicate with people in those dramatic ways. He does. I mean, he used to speak about Jesus Christ loudly for everybody to hear. Do you get my point? His disciples just hear a voice. And you know, interesting, the other people hear that thunder. Oh, in life, when you get to certain levels, you know, things that people will think is just commotion. To you, there are clear signs and clear words from God. God will be talking to Moses. They will say, why is there so much thunder? And Moses is hearing clearly. Moses is hearing each word, one after the other. Everybody just hearing. Say, Moses, what's all that noise? Say, what do you mean all that noise? The Lord was speaking. I mean, come on. It was thunder. So that day, I was just explaining to people that, look, that's not the main thing. That has always been the quest of my heart, that we are supposed to develop spiritually into the position where the will of God, the desire of God is naturally with us. Are you getting me? And somebody said, no, I don't agree with what you are saying. That God said, if you call me, I will answer. I said, what he said is that if you are hungry and you shout, I will send food. That is the answer of God. It's not you dial 080-225 heaven, you know, and they say, hello, who's that on the line? It's Chukubike. Now, so, you know, but people, no, the idea was that then somebody was not sharing testimony that one day was, and then the Lord began to tell me, at that point in time, even I just lost interest in the whole discussion. Forget it. Believe what you want to believe. But if you really are sincere, all right, and you grow in life, you know that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. And that's not what God desires. What God desires is that you will grow. Do you understand my point? What God desires is that, you know, you know, the other day something happened. I want to just illustrate what I'm saying. Somebody came to look for me here. I don't know how he got my wife's number. And he said he wanted to see me. So, did you tell him you were coming? No. Why do you expect to just walk into town and say, Pastor Banky, I want to see you, and I'll jump from wherever I am? So I just told my wife then, I said, please, give him Olisemeka's number. Let him call Olisemeka. So she gave him Olisemeka's number. That's the office number. I said, call this number. She now comes and said, she now called Olisemeka that I expect a call. He said, what do I tell Olisemeka? To tell him. I said, Olisemeka, he knows what to tell him. No, till now, I've not asked what you do tell the fellow. I don't know whether you get my point. I said, he knows what to tell him. I said, let them just finish discussing. I will hear maybe on Saturday what he told the fellow, and I know it's correct because, no, that's been the way it's been here. I don't know, Olisemeka makes judgment for me, and he's almost never wrong. Now, do you get the point I'm making? And that's the way it is. You know, I remember those when I was in school, our executive. One person could tell you what the other six people will say. You walk up to one person and say, this is what we are thinking about the fellowship. You just say that, no, this will work, this will not work. And most times, it's only one person you have spoken with. You've gotten the mind of everybody else. That's unity of spirit. You are getting the point I'm making. No, that's unity of spirit. And that's what God wants us to attain as children of God. Get my point. All the experiences you've had in life is to bring you to that point. That's what God wants to attain. That you will get to a point when they say that this happened. And they say, okay, ask Ubong to do something about it. What do we tell him to do? He said, he knows what to do. Have you spoken with him? No, but he knows what to do. How are you sure? I know him. Do you get my point? I know him. There are times God will tell you about people that I know this person. He said, shall we hide from Abraham what we're about to do? Since we have called him because we know him, that he will teach his children. That is, I know him. Have you considered my servant Job? What was God saying? I know him. He said he's serving God for what he's getting. God said, not Job. He said, have you ever discussed it with him? You don't get the point. I know Job. God said, okay, so that I will not have to have this argument for the rest of this life, this existence. Let Job go through sufferings on behalf of all my children that will yet come. So that when I say to people, I know this one, they will stop arguing with me. The only reason why Job went through all that hassle was to prove God right. Oh God. Get what I'm saying? It was to demonstrate the righteousness of God.
that God said Job is a good man. And Satan said, it's not true. He's like the rest of them. Remember the joke? A fact I said some time ago. I said, some of us that give offerings, God can't dare say it about us. He said, he gives only because of what he will get. God said, I know. Don't say it again. Me too, I know. He said, but there are people I tell you that if he has to lay his life down for me, he will do it. He says, because of what he's getting, I say no. He's getting nothing, he will still do it. And that was what God said concerning Job. Do you get my point? I'm building up something. That's what God wants to do with us. And that was what he did with Jesus Christ, and then he committed authority into his hands. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. He said, hear ye him. That is, listen to him. You know what I mean? What it means to say listen to him? It's not, he has good advice. Take his advice. It is that Ed Cole said, God doesn't give advice. He gives what? Commandments. You know what it means? If you disobey it, if you don't do it, it's called disobedience. And there's a just recompense of reward for every act of disobedience. So when he said concerning Jesus Christ, hear ye him. You know what it means? Whatever he says, obey. If you don't, it's called disobedience. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, anything this fellow tells you from today, do it. Now, if you don't do it, not only have you hurt yourself by what you have lost by not doing it, you have also incurred judgment for disobedience. That's the amount of authority that God passed into his hands. But remember what I said? I said, let's stop looking at it as this was God who came down in the body of a virgin and then was born and this and then. No, that is correct, but that's not what we should be looking at. We'll read that in John chapter 5. It said, I have received this because I am the son of man. That is, it's because first I was a human being and I was trained in the ways of God and then I was tested. Having been tested, the summary of his test was what we read about, that he went into the wilderness and Satan said, turn this stone to bread. He refused to turn the stone to bread. He said, jump down from here. And he refused. And he was quoting scriptures each time. I said, look, those are not all the tests that Jesus went through. Get me very clear. It couldn't be. If you understand spiritual things, it could not be. It couldn't be. But they were the summary. God left that one there for us to get a summary of all the tests he grew up with. Are you getting the point I'm making? Then having been tested, then God now committed authority into his hands. Jesus now said, the Father judges no man. You know when he said that? In fact, maybe before we read this, Isaiah chapter 2. Let's just get there. John chapter 5. The story you know very well was that Jesus got to the edge of a pool and then many people were there waiting to get healed because it was believed that an angel would come down, stir up the water, and then the first person to jump in would be made whole. And then there was one man who has been there for a very long time. And verse 6, and Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time. He had compassion on him, in effect, and he walked up to him and said, do you want to be made well? And the man, of course, I don't want to read everything. The man said, I don't know anybody. Nobody's here to help me. Jesus ended that argument in verse 8 simply by saying, you don't need any man. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Unfortunately for everybody else, it was a Sabbath day. After everything had happened, from verse 16, the Bible said that for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. They now said in verse 17, he said, my father has been walking until now and I have been walking. That made them angrier still. In verse 18, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father. That way, making himself equal with God. He wasn't the one that said it, that he was equal with God. They understood the principle that when you call God father, you have said that you and God are the same kind of people. Do you get my point? And remember, we discussed it before in the Bible exegesis some time ago, that there is what is called equality with God on the earth. Okay, that's the same thing I'm still teaching from another angle. Do you understand? It doesn't mean that you are no longer a human being, but he's saying that when it comes to the realm of this earth, this is the best that God can be if he were a human being. That's what he calls equality with God. That is exactly what God will do under these circumstances is exactly what I am doing. the amount of power available to effect work under these circumstances is exactly what we are seeing manifested in me. Let me explain again. When Solomon, all right, prayed to God, and God said to him, nobody will ever come to this earth with wisdom better than the one that I'm about to give you. You know what that means? Literally, take it from me. It means I'm about to give you the wisdom of God. That's the reason. It's not as if God shut up all mankind so that it's not possible to be wiser than Solomon. No, it's that he gave Solomon the highest wisdom possible for a human being to be able to store in his core. And that was why he said, nobody will come wiser. It wasn't as if he just suddenly set Solomon as a standard. No, no, please get what I'm trying to say. It was that he gave Solomon the best available. I'm telling you this, that is in the realm of wisdom, Solomon attained what was called equality with God. When it came to judging Israel, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Jesus could not have judged better than Solomon. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that Solomon was equal to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just in the matter of wisdom for judging a nation. You see, there's what the Bible calls the fullness of the Godhead. For example, the excellency of God that David had in war, Solomon did not have it. So he had the height of wisdom. There's another aspect which he didn't have. Let's talk about faith. He didn't have the faith of Abraham. But everything put together is what the Bible calls the fullness of the Godhead. And that's what dwells bodily in Christ Jesus. You are getting the point. I'm bringing out an issue here. So when he's talking about equality with God, he has real meaning. And the people understood. That's why they were very angry. One of the things that annoy Muslims till today most about Christianity is that Jesus is touted as the Son of God. They said God was not born by anybody and he gave birth to nobody. That they are all servants of God. I said, well, Christianity is a different realm. And they count the major religions of the world. I said, stop. You can count Buddhism, Islam, and Judaism. Don't count Christianity. It's not one of the religions of the world. It's the only life on the earth. Do you understand my point? It's the only life. Stop insulting us in one of the major religions. It's where most people practice it. That's why it's, you know, that's why it's a major religion. All right? Now, so what are we talking about? It was when he demonstrated the fact that he could make judgment on God's behalf. Let's continue reading. Now, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Please notice that. In the same manner in which the Father does things, that's how the Son does his own things. And I'm going to explain something, which is where I'm going. As I'm going on, I will describe something. It's what you are able to see. You know, last week I talked about divine perspective. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? Seeing things from God's angle. The degree to which you see like God sees is directly proportional, let me use mathematics now, to the amount of authority that will be delivered to you. Do you get my point? That's what Jesus was describing. Because his eyes, his whole body, his spirit, his heart was totally in tune with God. Now, it wasn't, I don't know how to explain this. The way it is that, because spiritual things is dynamic. Are you getting my point? That is, some things work, in fact, the way things move on the earth, they are a reflection of how they've been moving in the realm of the spirit. Do you understand that point? Now, please, let me say this again. When Jesus taught disciples to pray, he said, pray like this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how we read the most Bible. But what he actually said was, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded. Now, when I was much younger, I used to interpret it as it is being done in heaven. No, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in the heavens. There is a process for converting things being done on earth to the way it's recorded in God's heaven. Because it is possible for things to happen on earth not in accordance with God's recorded plan in the heavens. Do you understand that point? So the power of the believer who's deputizing for God is to make things happen on earth exactly the way it is recorded in the heavens. And the first thing he does is to see the way God sees. Therefore, he will understand what is recorded in the heavens. You know, I said something on Monday. For those of us who were here, you know, on Monday I didn't do School of Bible Exegesis. I just exhorted us. I taught on what I called creating a new day. Remember, that was on Monday. All right? And I explained a principle there. That it's what you have been able to conceive, all right, receiving from the Spirit of God now, that, okay, I said it specifically, that most prayer prayed without the knowledge of the will of God is cry.
It's not a cry.
You're just wailing. And the best God can do for you is to send a word concerning the knowledge of his will. That's when you can pray effectively.
Do you follow the point I'm making?
That's when you can pray effectively. That's having seen what exactly God is trying to do. That's when you can pray effectively. We'll discuss as time goes on how do you see that effectively. Because one of the major things, which is the reason why you are here, all right, when it comes to seeing, all right, is that people help you see. Do you get my point? That God, Bible says it like this. He said he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the saints. Let me put my own words, so that they can see. That's why you have left every other thing you could have done on Saturday evening and you have come to sit down here. Why? Because you believe that what I am going to be speaking, and you're absolutely correct, is the word of God. So as you hear it, listen, it's not the well-articulated grammar. No, it's not the grammar. It's the connection. There is a spirit of enlightenment that is flowing into your heart as I'm talking. Which, without talking about your house, you will get home and suddenly there will be a new idea about the home you are living in. Now, I didn't come here discussing your house, though. I don't know the business you do. Yes, you get back to office on Monday. Suddenly, as you're about to step in, you suddenly stop at the door. Wait, why have you been doing like this? Why can't we do this? I think we should stop this. Listen, when such ideas come, man, stay there for a while. Stay there for a while. Sit on them. Don't infect them immediately. You must... You know, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the deep before God said. I've explained before that God said, he wasn't trying to talk now. You get my point? It was just an overflow of what he had brooded upon. That's why he had power. Now, this is how people execute judgment for God. In the same manner, you have imbibed an enlightening spirit. You go home, you go to your business, you go to your school, somewhere. You're about to just step into your office. Suddenly, an idea comes to your head. Don't throw it away, please. I beg in the name of the Lord. Especially when you're fresh from the presence of God's Spirit by his word. Don't throw it away. No matter how wild it is, don't throw it away. I told my wife the other day, I said, I think you should invest in an airline. But my wife doesn't laugh about such things anymore. She doesn't. She said, how much does a plane cost, Seth? I started from the biggest one so that she'll get scared a bit. So after that one stops scaring you, the rest can't scare you anymore. I said a new Airbus A380 or a Boeing 787 costs $550 million. I said, that's a lot of money. I said, exactly. We spent the whole of this morning, or a large part of this morning, describing how to organize air shuttle between here and Lagos. Bus shuttle from Lagos Airport to Maryland and Ikeja. From, you know, discussing all kinds of things. He said, Pastor Frank is there. Yes, oh boy. If you don't brood, you can't talk. I know what I'm saying. And if you don't talk, nothing happens. If you brood plenty, you will talk carelessly one day and the Bible says the birds of the air will carry it. Remember what I said about the spirit blowing upon it. When he talked about grass, all flesh is grass. I said that on Monday. Get the CD, please. I said, when he says all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field, he said the grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of God blows upon it. When he said that, materially, people understood that what he was saying is that when the dry wind blows, the grass withers. But he was talking about spiritual thing, that what changes what you see physically is how God's breath is blowing spiritually. Are you getting the point? So when you incubate and one day you talk, is a release. The Bible said that the angels, do they hearken to God's words? No. They hearken to the voice of his word. Whoever speaks it. Do you follow the point I'm making? So the man speaks because he has been able to see the way God... Look, I say you can't outthink God. No matter what good thing can come to your heart, God thought about it first. Before you were born, he thought about it. He was just waiting for somebody to think with him. And once you start thinking with God, he starts giving you ideas. Please, you know the job of Satan? to come and remind you that that idea is very stupid. I told you, I walked a young man out of my office for trying to persuade me that Nigerians can't afford constant power supply. I said, the same story they told us, that we couldn't afford phones. Now they're all killing themselves to get our license. Is the minimum wage is 7,000? I said, thank God it's minimum, not maximum wage. Which means we can all earn above that. Because that is a satanic job. You go trying to persuade me that what I need is a visa. No, I don't. What a pity. I forgot my badge today. It's a rule. I go everywhere now with my Nigerian badge. I don't know how I might forget it. Go and get one and wear it. You and I will be connecting the spirit. That badge, wear it. It's a statement. I look at it as a badge of Cush, the badge of Ham. No, that's the way I look at it. It's a badge of the redemption that God has poured upon all the descendants of Ham. That's the way I look at it. Know what they call the badge? Green, white, green. Which is what? Fruitfulness, peace, and fruitfulness. Do you understand my point? Productivity. It's prophetic. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, also means prosperity. So it's prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, when you come out from the presence of God's Spirit, your spirit is enlightened to dream. You're about to enter your office, one crazy idea. Look, as soon as he arrives, then Satan comes. That's the way it works. So get ready for the Satan. What are the Satans? CNN, NTA, This Day, you know, all the newspapers, all the news agencies, and then your friends and well-wishers. Most of them are disciples of Satan. Most of them are. That's what they are. Most people. They start explaining why it can't work. A disciple of Jesus Christ will tell you how to beat the reasons why it can't work. He will tell you, if this doesn't work like this, we find another way. That's the disciples of Christ Jesus. All the ones that said abandon it doesn't make sense. They are disciples of Satan. What am I trying to say? When that idea comes and you brood, do you get my point? And you don't have to take steps immediately. Say, as I was about to enter this office, I just feel like we should close from here and move to a bigger office. You don't do it immediately. No, you don't give yourself on it. You will see something. All those wrong decisions you take is good if you're a child of God. You just learn the hard way. You will still learn. You will still succeed. 1 year of suffering is just a drop. In fact, I like one thing my pastor used to say, that success is so powerful, it erases the memory of failure. When you finally break through, like, you forget all those things. So don't even worry. Make the mistake, fine. But look, the best way to do it, don't even do anything. You come back next day, you remember. When there's nothing you're doing in the office, you start plotting. From this two-room office, we'll get to this kind of office, we'll do this. From doing business of 1 million naira every month, we'll do 1 billion naira every month. Then we'll be valued, you know. One of my friends in my house today, I was telling me that when analyzing the fact that Dangote is listed in Forbes list, you know, 500, you know, for the richest men in the world, you know, Dangote is listed, all right? He's very far down, but he's there. The value is coming at over $3 billion. But then a friend of mine said that, no, that's wrong. It should be between 6 and 7. He said, look, the guy in my house, he said, I don't know Dangote. I'm not saying he's a good or a bad man. He said, but that they've listed a Nigerian. It shows that finally they are recognizing what we have always known. That's what he said. He said, we have not changed. They are the ones that have changed. They are now seeing that we are really there. He said, what impressed him is the fact that Dangote does none of his business after outside Nigeria. That it tells you can do business in Nigeria and be a billionaire counting in dollars. All the things they valued, all the trading, all the packaging, all the manufacturing is right here. You've heard me say for a long time that only a blind and stupid man tells us we're a poor country. What rubbish is that? We can't be poor. It's not possible. Look, the guy was telling me, he said, look, I was very, very happy. I was very, very happy. That his own is that, look, you've listed Dangote very good. At least it shows that now your eyes are opening. That you've seen that things are happening. And the reason why they valued him at $3.3 billion is just because they don't know how to value privately held equities, you know? That is, when a company is fully private, they don't know how to value it in our country yet. That one of my guys said, if they had done it, they would have placed in between 6 and 7 billion. Very good. Are you getting my point? Please, what am I saying? So every day, look, you start thinking about it. You're brooding. The one they say, oh, and God said, it's not just God said, you know, let there be light. God didn't speak English. Let there be light is English. Do you understand my point? You can say it in any language.
What did God say really? We don't know the words he used. What we know is that he released something that was full inside him and the earth responded. So when you are going to say, it may not be, let there be a big company. No, it is you call somebody, hey you, go to Lagos, call this man for me, see him, tell him we want to do this. That's part of, and God said. Go to the lands office, you walk up there, I want to see the commissioner for lands. We need this, this, and this, and this. We will do this when we get this. You are going to give us this. You are telling him things. Listen, you have commanded him in the realm of the spirit. No, get what I'm saying? The brooding. Talk is not just words. It's the power behind the thing the man is saying.